See for the late session in our Galway studios.
You're welcome along to tonight's edition of The Late Session. And on tonight's programme, we'll hear from the recent launch of the book and CDs featuring the songs of Bess Cronin. Fonagy Ling. First, though, to one of a number of new CDs which have come our way in the past week or so from the Ennis accordion player Conor McCarthy. Selection Box is the title of the album featuring Conor on accordion with Alf Duggan accompanying him on guitar. We listen to a selection of Wheels from it to start us off tonight. Hanley's Tweed and Paddy Fahey's. McCarthy there. He's the accordion player with the Kilfenora Cayley Band, and we've played a number of tracks from the album that himself and his wife Anne-Marie McCormack released together just a couple of years ago. But that's from Conor's first solo album. It's called Selection Box, features himself on accordion and Alf Duggan on guitar, and a rare track indeed on that as well, featuring the accordion playing of Conor's father, Johnny McCarthy, great accordion player and a great teacher of music around the Ennis area for many, many years. But I think that may even have been his first venture into the recording studio, and hopefully on the programme over the next couple of weeks we'll get a chance to play Johnny's track from that album for you. Hanley's Tweed and Paddy Fahey's were the two reels that you heard there from the box playing of Conor McCarthy. Well, on the programme a number of weeks ago, we visited briefly a wonderful new collection, a book and two CDs, two accompanying CDs featuring the songs of Elizabeth, or Bess Cronin, as she was better known, the collection edited by her grandson, Davy O'Cronin. Now, the publication was officially launched in Dublin a couple of weeks ago by Cathal Gone, the head of television in RTE. And we'll hear from Cathal very shortly. But first of all, let's listen to Bess Cronin herself. And this is Bess Cronin with the story of Lord Gregory.
I am my king's daughter, and straight from Capoquin, in search of Lord Gregory, my God, I'll find him. There in beats at my yellow locks, and the jewels me still. The baby's called in my arms, Lord Gregory, let me in. Lord Gregory is not here, and his forth can't be seen. He's gone to flee Scotland to bring home his new queen. Hold you, my babe's little feet, you will wear clothes on her hands, And we'll take my babs middle with a long and green band. We'll call my babs a yellow locks with an ivory comb. And we'll be my babs father till our Gregory comes home. I'll show your babs a little feet, I'll put clothes on her hands. And I'll say your bears a middle with a long and green band. I'll comb your bears a yellow locks with an ivory comb. And I'll be your bears a father till our Gregory comes home. Leave now those windows and likewise this hall. For a step in the sea, you should hide your downfall. Do you remember Lord Gregory, that night at Capoquin, when we bought chest pocket handkerchiefs, and that against my will, where yours was pure linen, love, and mine was coarse cloth? Yours cost one guinea, love, and mine but one groat. Leave now those windows, and likewise this hall. For a steep in the sea, you should find your downfall. Do you remember Lord Gregory, that night at Capoquin? We bought change rings on our fingers, and that against my will. For yours was pure silver, love, and mine was black tin. Yours cost one guinea, love, and mine but one cent. Leave now those windows, and likewise this hall. For as deep in the sea, you should find your downfall. Do you remember Lord Gregory, that night in my father's hall, when you stole away my fond heart, and that was worse than all? Leave now those windows, and likewise this hall. For a step in the sea, you should find your downfall. The rain beats at my yellow locks, and the dew hits me still. The baby's cold in my arms, Lord Gregory, let me in. My curse on you, mother, and my curse it being sore. Sure, I dreamt those arms came rapping to my door. Lie down, you foolish son, and lie down and sleep. For it is long ago our weary locks are waving in the deep. Come, sell me them black hairs, them brown or them bare. Come saddle me the best horse in my stable this day. And I'll range over valleys and o'er mountains so wide. I'll find the lass of arms and I lie by her side.
Camar agor privilege farsen to do hain ban seo Trinona. Mar gomraham ar valach egin Cangol fada gom hen leis an sihir seo ó cholama anim na mrá seo blinti fada hain dan cheadúr agus ó vias agam gro cael best cronan eilis I eirli emi ar fodan dóin da war aileach da cwyd ceol agus da war sivras an stór oran a vi eki Sinim an cheadúr na tabarúil waithicum gúr cofnig mar an cheadúr a chulam a hanyam ag ceolcharam a malfarste sa bhíon seascas an ísílam agus ceol bán ógas malfarste óran na dog si haicanai live at the top of a mountain air agus dúirtí gur hánig an tuairán seo ó the wonderful Cork singer Elizabeth Cronin, agus go bhfuair siúis an tuairán ó Cathal McConnell as Condé Armánach. Sinéad ceathair an taimí bhí ar an óráin é sin, agus mar a tharlaíonnta sí ina cónaí thíos gan dé Chorcaí anois. Ach tá cuimne agam ar an ócáid Braham go fáil an searú a bhain leis an ócáid mar go bhacas tú gur bhhailíocht ar léith a bhriotal an óráin seo agus bunneas iontathe buint le ceáil thinéad. Beidir ciaran na chuig mhí in é sin a cholaimid an cheadúir a gú hain, a glór cén hain. Ar chéirnín a bhí fáiltí ag Topic Records, the Folk Songs of Britain, Mahamud an Batún sin dáib. Agus, bhí ar an chéirnín éirithe seo, báilúchandin a bailéid idir an eisinta, agus ar chéan acu bhí óran d'ar tigil Lord Gregory, The Last of Ochram. Agus bhí sé a cheol agus bé sin a cheadúir a cholaime cú Elizabeth Cronin. Agus fanan an chuimhnigh sin lom go fáil, agus caim a rá gurú go bhfad sa bhain sé lom hin ceartaigh Alan Lomax nar a dúirte gur seo an ghil is deise agus is údar a sí agus is maithaí dar chula sé riú de bhealad idirnáisiúnta a cheol. Mar a tharla sin é sin tháinig mé go bailla clé ar an ollscoil agus mar bagrála ag an am bhí me ag paparacht faoi cheol tíre ag tabla lá amháin sa bhíalan agus bhí me caint faoin óraní ionta seo Elizabeth Cronin agus bhí an lead seo ar ó mar aithne go mar ón rang réilge ina hios mo chóir agus dúirt sé ar bhealach an éisiúil agus thocail atar ar nós cumannam. Oh, sin ima hanwar. Agus an farabhí geisir nó in Davi an seo, agus is minic a chaimwaj am a caint fwyn vani ta seo, agus fwyn chol a bhí tuki eki, ní wanda wanchu na hair anach ta rhini ar fod a dóan. Those original memories of Elizabeth Cronin as a singer and the impression that I got of people's reverence for her voice and for her repertory has increased over the years. And I suppose the fact that anyone who has casually glanced at a record cover for recordings of successful groups like Planxty, Clannad, the Bothy Band have seen references to this woman, Elizabeth Cronin, and to her store of songs. But for all that, that regal presence was somehow elusive because there were so few opportunities for the ordinary person to hear her singing. And now is a real occasion for celebration because this is a truly wonderful gift to anyone who's interested in Irish music anywhere in the world that we have 59 of her songs on the two CDs which come as a free addition to the wonderful book. Or as someone else said to me just slightly before this, if we look cynically at this, there are two wonderful CDs at a cut price with a very big free booklet. But this is an extraordinary area with a huge poetic tradition and a great literary tradition and literate tradition. And one of the more remarkable things about the very fine introduction that Davi has made to this collection is the description by Bess Cronin to her son of a visit of Seamus Ennis. And Seamus Ennis is undoubtedly one of the great heroes of our country in the past century. A man who, as a very young man, worked for the Folklore Commission. I think he joined them at the age of 22 and went off on his bicycle with his Ediphone to collect all over the country and has left us recordings in manuscripts and in sound recordings of the wondrous singing of people like Sheila Vickie in Gador, the fiddle mastery of Frank Cassidy and Jimmy Lyons in Teeling, the extraordinary singing of Colm O'Kian in Glinsk in Connemara, the wonderful music of Patrick O'Keefe and Dennis Murphy from Slieve Lochra, and Paddy Cronin as well, all of which I'm glad to say have now been released on CD by RTE. The singing of Laura Sokaila from On Rhein, which again has recently been published. And from those recordings, we appreciate the wonderful activity that was going on in Ireland in the 1940s with the work of the Irish Folklore Commission, then the mobile recording unit of Radio Éireann, and the work of the BBC, and latterly collectors from America. But the one focus of those recordings from Slieve Lochra, and which is wonderfully described in this introduction, is the visit, nocturnal visit of Seamus Ennis with some visitors, maybe up to 24 hours late as it happened, to record at the plantation. And the sense of mutual respect that you get from that, of Bess Cronin for this extraordinary young man, is the best way I suppose I could describe it at the moment, and he for her in later recordings when he described the importance of her singing. So after years of, I know Davy's father tried to publish this material, it didn't come to fruition. It has now finally come about that with the good offices of Four Court, that Davy has taken on the work which his father had started. So there's a wonderful continuity about this, that the third generation should take on the publication, the editorial responsibility of bringing to all of us this great reflection on the various songs that existed in West Cork, the international ballads, the local compositions of people like George Curtin and Johnny Noray, the songs which in Irish which enjoy wide provenance across the country, the songs which are specific to the locality, the songs one might be curious as to how they arrived in West Cork, the Braes of Balquhidder and songs like that. 59 recordings, which are incidental to the book publication, which reflect the extraordinary musical mastery of this woman. There was a subtlety about her singing, there's a control, there's a musical intelligence that goes right through every one of these recordings. And some of the singing on it is, for my mind at least, possibly the best I've ever heard of particular songs. There is an absolute mastery, for instance, in the singing of Níl na Lá or Shohein Sho. They're truly wonderful pieces of art for us all to enjoy. So I think that on so many levels, this is an occasion to celebrate a great artist, to celebrate her sons who recorded that, to celebrate Seamus Ennis who recorded it as well, to acknowledge the work of Gene Ritchie and the other people whose photographs have adorned this book today, to remark on the great work done by Harry Bradshaw in remastering all these recordings. There really is a superb job done. Nicholas Carlin and Glenn Comiskey from the Irish Traditional Music Archive for their work in the editing of those songs. To Sandra Joyce from the University of Limerick for the transcription of the songs. And especially to Davy for his devotion to this task over the years. And to say finally that the most important thing about all this is that this is a great opportunity for us all to listen and to read and to reflect on the wonderful musicality and sensibility of Elizabeth Cronin. Cromila Maigov.
Stam, stokhi, digan, wal,
One of the songs mentioned there by Cathal Gone as he officially launched the songs of Elizabeth Cronin, the book and double CD in Dublin a couple of weeks ago. Now, the night before the Dublin launch of the publication, it was also published here in Galway in Kenny's Bookshop here in Galway. And at that occasion, I took the opportunity to meet up with the editor, Davy O'Cronin. And the first question I asked him was this very much a labour of love?
I suppose you could say Bess Cronin is the granny I grew up with but never knew. I was only a year and a half when she died in 1956, but my father was forever talking about her. It was non-stop, best this, best that, and everything else. And so I suppose I had the songs in the background, as it were. And then when he died, God rest him, in 1990, I sort of inherited the task. He'd been working away on all the materials that his uncle, or rather that his brother, Sean O'Cronin, my uncle, had been collecting for the Irish Folklore Commission in Cork. He was the full-time collector for the commission in Cork between 1939 and 1965. And he produced several books of folklore, Skilich, Dalwiva, Lynch, and that kind of stuff. But he would always say to me that, no, I couldn't go near the songs. They were his, you know, and he was going to get around to them eventually, and that was being kept in the background as his final sort of pièce de résistance. Unfortunately, he didn't live to see it through, so I inherited that task. And as you say, it's a sort of pietas, work of pietas for the old times, you know.
Tell me a little bit about Bess Cronin. I mean, you say you were only a year and a half when she died, but you must have grown up hearing all about her and about her singing and about her personality and that. Tell us a bit about her.
She seems to have been a very jolly woman. That was the word that Seamus Ennis used of her. And she seems to have been very welcoming. Anybody who ever came to the plantation, as it was called down in Ballymacheira, the old house in Ballymacheira, they were always welcomed with open arms. Everything was dropped. All the housework was put aside and she'd sit down and sing songs and chat and all that kind of thing. And Seamus, who liked her a lot and they got on very well together, Seamus always made a point of bringing the collectors to her. So we're lucky in that sense because American collectors came, the BBC came, Brian George from the BBC, and of course at the beginning of it all, Seamus himself with the Irish Folklore Commission. So I suppose more so than most people of that generation, she had a lot of her songs recorded. And also interesting is the fact that she had a rich repertoire of songs in Irish and English. That's really, I suppose, how the BBC and the Americans came. They wanted to get the big songs, as they're called, the child ballads in the English language. But she had a huge repertoire of local songs and Irish songs, songs that everybody knows in the tradition. And sometimes, you know, unusual versions of songs and songs. For example, in the case of Lord Gregory, probably the best-known song, the one that people most associate with her. What was unusual about Bess is that she had a tune for it. This apparently was unheard of in England. The song was well-known, obviously, the text. But Bess was the first person to have a tune to go with it. So collectors were particularly thrilled with her, yeah.
How did she come to have so many songs, and songs, as you say, from so many different traditions, Irish songs, English songs, and so on?
It's a difficult question to answer, really, you know, because she lived, obviously, in the era before recorded songs, or before mass circulation recordings, so there's no question of having learnt songs, either from records or LPs or cassettes, as we would. And there wasn't anything in the way of radio or wireless, obviously, either. So she herself always maintained that she picked up songs from servant girls, maids who worked on the farm, for example, and there was a steady stream of them. There was always a steady stream of bachig, as she called them, you know, tramps or, you know, people who were just walking the road. They always had a song, they'd get a bed for the night, and they sort of paid their way by singing a song or two. And Bess seems to have had a particularly good memory, great recall, and she only needed to hear a song once or twice, and that was it.
Presumably, then, there are, I think, 196 songs, I think, in the book. Yeah. Would she have had a lot more songs than that?
There must have been at least another 50 that you could think of, you know, straight off the top of your head, songs, local songs that you'd expect her, so to speak, to have, but for some reason either weren't recorded or weren't written down. It's very hard to know. There's a very strong, very deep tradition in that area. You're well aware, I'm sure, yourself, of the famous Freeman collection that was made in Ballyvourne, and probably the best known local collection of folk song anywhere in Ireland, and that was made in 1912, 1913. And it's interesting to compare Bess's repertoire with what Freeman collected, because there's quite a variety, quite a difference. You know, different people had different songs, and my own relations tell me that, you know, Bess would have songs, say, that her sisters wouldn't have, and vice versa, they would have songs that she wouldn't have. And there was always a sort of little jealousy going on, you know, that they wouldn't always necessarily trade songs or let anybody have their good songs. You know, they'd keep them quiet until the collectors came, maybe, and then spring the surprise, you know, in front of the microphone, yeah.
One thing that I noticed, particularly I think in relation to the songs collected by the Americans by Jean Ritchie when she came, was that they were almost all English songs. Do you think that was because she maybe felt that because they were English speakers and that they wanted songs in English?
Yes and no. I mean, Jean Ritchie and George Pico did actually record some songs in Irish, luckily, some songs that aren't recorded, say, at the Folklore Commission. But the principal reason why Jean Ritchie particularly recorded the English songs, and particularly the big ballads, is that Jean herself came from a very strong singing tradition in the Cumberland Mountains in Kentucky, family of 16 kids, all of whom were singers, and they all had a great repertoire of songs. And she had the great idea in 1951, too, of applying for a grant, a scholarship, to come to Ireland and Britain to research all those songs that she had grown up with. So songs like Barbara Allen, Lord Gregory, Lord Randall, all these so-called child ballads that she knew from her childhood. She got this research money to come over and see what the origins of these songs were. So the standard routine, if you like, with I think most collectors in that age, was to say, have you any old songs? You know, not Camollies or, you know, barroom songs or anything like that, but so-called old songs. And the old song meant something in particular to the older singers, and I think for that reason they tended to give the child ballads for that reason.
Now, Bess's first language obviously would have been Irish. Yeah. Would she have learned, where would she have learned English? Where would she even have learned to speak English?
Interestingly enough, now the whole Ballyvourne area has been bilingual all the way back to the beginning of the century, and that's reflected even in the song tradition, not only in terms of songs sung, but songs composed. Even, you know, native speakers of Irish, people who have Irish as their everyday language, were amazingly proficient in the English language and could turn out very, very interesting and complicated songs in English. She herself might have had more access to the English language, I suppose, because her own father was a school teacher, Sean Marster O'Hearle, a schoolmaster. And she says herself that many of her uncles were demon readers, and if a book appeared, they would simply drop tools, you know, retire to the fire and go through the book from cover to cover. And one uncle in particular she talked about had obviously a photographic memory, and the book went in and never went out again. And these people are very interested in anything that had to do with literature, both in Irish and in English. There wasn't obviously so much of it in circulation in the Irish language in those days, A, because it wasn't encouraged in the schools. Bess, for example, although she could obviously speak and sing in Irish, couldn't write in Irish because it hadn't been taught in the school. So that when, for example, as is the case, there are lists of her songs, sometimes lists that she herself wrote or compiled, where there's a title in Irish, it's a semi-phonetic sort of rendition. It's not a proper spelling as we would describe it. And she had obviously never learned how to write Irish. Her father probably could, being a schoolmaster, and there was a very strong tradition in the schools in Ballyvourne, Donachó Buachalla, a great, great man to encourage Irish, and he and Micheál O'Brien, another teacher, were very, very conscious of the fact that there was not only a good, strong singing tradition, but that the Irish of Ballyvourne was superb, very deep, very rich, very idiomatic, and they encouraged people like Aldivo O'Leinse, for example, to go up to the Oireachtas, and the result was that they came back, you know, with a belly full of prizes, and Ballyvourne was regarded as the capital of the Gaeltacht for that reason. So there was a very strong tradition of encouraging songs and stories in both languages. And in fact, Bess Cronin was recorded telling stories both in Irish and in English, and she was a very good storyteller herself, not just a singer, but very able as a Seanchaí as well.
One of the things that I particularly like in the book are, and you have a number of the songs reprinted as they were written down by collectors by such
that's
as Seamus Emerson, beautiful old handwriting.
Right, she had a lovely, wonderful copper plate hand herself in English, which obviously she had learned in school. And funny enough, it went down through the family, because it's sometimes difficult to distinguish her handwriting from, say, the handwriting of her sons, my uncles. It's very, very similar. And it's also a joy to look at the handwritten transcriptions that Seamus Ennis did, because although we obviously associate Seamus with his great piping and so on, he was a wonderful collector, and he had a beautiful hand, beautiful calligraphic script, and wrote music, the notation, beautifully. And I did have the idea that it would be nice to sort of spice out the book with a few illustrations of the raw material, so to speak, in that respect, yeah.
Now, as well as the book, there are also nicely tucked inside the back cover two CDs with 59 songs altogether from various different things. They very much complement the book, and the book very much complements them.
Well, I was always conscious of the fact that this was going to be a book and a collection for singers. You know, I mean, I'm a historian, I'm a sort of professional academic, so to speak, but I didn't want this to be an academic book. And in fact, I chose the format. It's an A4 size book, a bigger than average size book, so that, you know, singers could learn songs and hold it in front of them literally and sing from the book. And to the same extent, I was conscious that since we had this rich collection of recordings, that it would be a nice thing to have, if not all the songs, it wouldn't be possible to have all the songs on the CDs, A, because there'd be too many of them almost, but two, because the quality is not always the same across the different collections. But I was very lucky in that I had the services of Harry Bradshaw. And although the American recordings, for example, Gene Ritchie and George Pico's recordings were superb from day one and were as good today as they were the day they were made, the earliest recordings, those made by Seamus Ennis for the Folklore Commission, in many respects needed a lot of work. And I was extremely fortunate to have Harry, who's obviously the expert in the field, and he did a lot of expert remastering and cleaning up, with the result now that the two CDs, one has the Irish folklore and the BBC material on one of them, and the other has all the American stuff, and the quality is almost indistinct. They're really superb, and I think it's a quality that people will never have heard before. They all have heard Bess, obviously, on the radio or whatever, but I don't think they've ever heard Bess this good.
And certainly not with it, with the depth and the width of repertoire that are on the songs as well.
And in fact, in terms of the Irish songs, Bess, as I said, had a wonderfully rich and idiomatic Irish, but it wasn't always the easiest Irish to make out listening to recordings. So I did make the effort to try and produce a good printed text of all these songs as well. It's not always possible. I have a list of, roughly speaking, 200 songs known to have been in her repertoire, but not all of them have been noted down or recorded, so there are gaps in places. But I'm hoping that once this collection goes out, that other people will, you know, maybe rummage around in the attic, and who knows what will come back in the way of a tape here or a written page there.
I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. One evening I've led the careless east thread, I asked for a mad and great moon. I asked her the matter, she pretty made answer, I'm weary from laying alone. Alone, I'm weary from being alone. As a woman down, did you see against the theorem? I was a hellish gal, the mercy. And could use the shag as a sorrow, a man, as time could have and room. I'm with them, and I'm with listen, don't you, and save me, and tell me the years that are flown, or a 7 and 1 and the 11 years long, and I'm weary from being alone, alone. I'm weary from being alone. Is that when you're gone, hey, in the walk of conspiracy, as you're making a penny for me? Me killing is the nothing until a golden crown and a runway, runway, golden crown and a runway. I got some comely man that wouldn't take me without fortune and would make me a wife of his own. But the truth I'll explain, that I'll lay in despair, I've a lying longer alone, alone, I've a lying longer alone. And the rosy granite, the sardine, she traveling out, when I'm staying away. Maar zo ja, mijn geest in gemisje wordt recht, lees je mij weer met nooit, lees je mij weer met nooit. Er is een iets sweetie vloer in de skardien langs zijdes, kijk er een weg in je roon. Of the floor it will fit, so also the mad that is weary from being alone, alone, that is weary from being alone.
Tom Curraha of Ehemainert Imleen Shin from the singing of Bess Cronin. And the title of the book and the accompanying CDs is The Songs of Elizabeth Cronin, edited by Dalvey O'Cronin and published by Four Courts Press. Seamus Ennis received many kind words of praise there, both from Dalvey O'Cronin and from Cathal Gone. Cathal describing him as one of the great heroes of our country in the 20th century. And by sheer coincidence, in the Post yesterday comes a new album of music from Seamus Ennis. This is a collection entitled 40 Years of Irish Piping from Seamus Ennis, and was originally released in 1977 on Tara Records here in this country and as a double cassette by Green Linnet in the United States, but it's now been made available by Green Linnet on CD and features 21 tracks, including, coincidentally, because of the fact that we've been talking so much about the songs of Bess Cronin and particularly the recordings made by Gene Ritchie and George Pickow, but a number of the tracks on this album featuring the music of Seamus Ennis were also recorded by Gene Ritchie and George Pickow when they were here in this country, including this one, The Praties Are Dug and The Frost Is All Over.
What did you do if you married a soldier? What did I do but to follow the gun? And what did you do if he died in the ocean? What did I do but to marry again? What did you do if the kettle boiled over? What did I do but to fill it again? And what did you do if the cows ate the clover? What did I do but to set it again? The praties are dug and the frost is all over, Kitty lie over close to the wall. The heavens are boiling, the praties are roasting, Kitty lie over close to the wall.
Praters Are Dug and the Frost Is All Over from Seamus Ennis there, 40 years of Irish piping, that particular piece recorded by Gene Ritchie and George Pickhow on one of their visits to Ireland, and that's now available on that CD from Greenlinet entitled Seamus Ennis, 40 Years of Irish Piping. Well, that's about all we've time for on tonight's edition of the programme. Hope you enjoyed the music and the song and the chat, and we'll be back of course with more of the same at the same time next Friday night here on Radio 1. I'm going to leave you with more music on Illan Pipes, this time from a publication from the Peabody Illan, which features a video, a CD and a booklet of traditional Illan Pipes instruction. It's The Art of Illan Piping, Volume 3, and the two pipers who are involved playing here are Gay McKeown and Nollag McCarty, together playing two reels, The Old Bush and The Steam Packet. Good evening, Laura Midley Kayla Risha, Ganam Kayla and Jackson Chahogan, Wimshire, Honey Hensi, Slána Gael.
The Late Session was produced by Peter Brown. You'll find details of The Late Session on RTE's internet service. The website address is www.rte.ie. After this commercial break, we'll be back with that all-important event for the bank holiday weekend, the weather forecast.
Have you been turned down for a mortgage due to your credit? The Wise Mortgage Company Limited will provide mortgages to all status borrowers. If you qualify, we'll give you a mortgage of up to 2.5 times your joint income with a maximum of 50% of the value of your residential property. Remember, your home is at risk if you don't keep up mortgage repayments or other loans secured to it. For information and the name of your local broker, phone 01 276 5118. S-O-L-F-E-N. Solfen spells relief.
Solfen is the new pain reliever from Antigen, with the power of ibuprofen in pleasant, effervescent tablets.
So it not only dissolves, but fizzes fast and gets to the site of the problem, fighting headache, backache, period pain, and colds and flu symptoms.
Pleasant, effervescent Solfen. Dissolves.
Dissolves.
Away the pain. Solfen from your pharmacist. Read instructions carefully.
S-O-L-F-E-N. Solfen spells relief.
Hummingbird Records presents Journey, the best of Donald Lunny. A musical odyssey through the career of one of the most influential musicians and composers in Irish music today.
Time has come to part my love.
Featuring tracks from the Bothy Band, Christy Moore, Cool Finn, Planxty, Eddie Reader, Moving Hearts, and many more. Journey, the best of Donald Lunny.
Super Value has a wonderful range of fresh foods. Its stock of vegetables, fish, meat is top class, excellent.
Great savings this bank holiday weekend, like delicious leg of Irish spring lamb, an incredible £1.99 per pound. New season yellow Spanish honeydew melons, now 99p each. And Namara Spanish red and white wine, outstanding value at just £3.99 a bottle. That's Super Value. That's shopping as it should be.
I come back here for the prices every time.
And now at 5 to 12 we go to Matt Aaron for the weather forecast with Michael Cleary.
Hello and a very good night. It's going to stay generally dull and overcast tonight with scattered outbreaks of rain. The thunderstorms which developed over parts of Munster and Leinster this evening have more or less died out at this stage, while the pockets of heavy rain still affecting some of these areas will tend to ease off overnight also. Parts of the north and northwest will have further spells of rain during the night, and will continue rather breezy along many northern and western coasts as well. Elsewhere the winds will be a lot slacker overnight with mist and